More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, testing my patience. Are certain problematic people or situations getting under your skin? We'll help you reclaim your calm and find the answers you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, testing my patience. Are certain problematic people or situations getting under your skin? We're going to help you reclaim your calm and find the answers you're looking for. The number again, 877-573-7825. Tell us, do you have somebody in your life? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kid. Maybe it's your adult kid. Your elderly parent. That friend who's kind of more of a frenemy. Whoever it is, do you have somebody in your life who is testing your patience? Are you dealing with someone or something that you are just tired of having to deal with? And you're looking for ways to resolve that challenge so that you can have more peace. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that we need to reassure our listeners that it's okay to admit that somebody's getting on your nerves, admit that there's an issue with somebody, and be able to take that deep breath and say, okay, maybe there are steps I can take to feel less frustrated, to maybe even make the relationship better, maybe resolve those issues. And some of you were saying, oh, that's not possible. You don't know this person. They're just never going to resolve these issues with me. Well, there are things you can do to make that a possibility, but also deal with the aggravation of it all. The problematic people, problematic situations elevate our emotional temperature, make us be physically and spiritually and emotionally off kilter or even unwell. And it really is an invitation from God today to allow Him into it all so that we can find a calm, even a rational place in ourselves where we can begin to deal with this, whether it is, yes, fixing that situation, fixing that relationship, or if you're one of the people who feels like that can never happen because, and then you fill in your blanks forever in your head, how to deal with it in you so you become the healthy, happier, holier, more peaceful person that God wants you to be and wants to be able to restore in you. And if that sounds good, give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, we talk a lot about patience, but I think we have a hard time knowing exactly what that means. And, you know, I think the theology of the body can really help give us some insights on this. For folk, every day on the More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections on what it means to be a Christian disciple in the modern world and how we can begin to discover God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
Well, the theology of the body reminds us of the importance of cultivating receptivity. That's the ability to stay in God's presence and hear God's voice in the moment, even as we're going through a particular challenge or struggling to deal with a particular person. Patience is one of the virtues that makes this possible.
You know, most people have an incorrect understanding of what patience really is. We think it's the ability to just passively stand back and wait for things to work out, I guess. Right? But patience is actually an active virtue. It represents the ability to step back, look at what we've done so far to address a problem, see what effect our efforts have been having, and then evaluate an effective next step. So patience is the virtue of waiting with purpose. It creates a space that we need so that we can step out of the frustration, listen to what God's saying, and discern what he's asking us to do next. You know, patience doesn't mean ignoring the problem or trying to remain perfectly calm in the face of our problems. It means intentionally making space to be thoughtful and prayerful about the next thing God might want me to do. So, you know, if you're having a hard time with somebody, if you're, you know, basically when we lose patience, we gain frustration. So if you see yourself becoming frustrated about a particular person or problem that you have to deal with, let us help you create that space to step back, hear what God is asking you to do next, and then make the plan to follow it through so you can cooperate with his grace and find the solutions you're seeking. 877-573-7825.
Well, and I think it's important to realize that when we say patience is a virtue, we can only exercise those virtues if we're staying close to God. And boy, doesn't everything push us away from God. It's like getting hit by a bumper car, right? It all comes at you, problems, annoying people, the devil himself just trying to push you further away from God so you can't hear his guidance and his voice and have his consolations. So taking a step back into his grace and getting those really practical skills that he's trying to convey to you, maybe even through this show today, so that you can have that sense of calm, patience as a virtue, and resolve those issues. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people and situations that frustrate us, that test our patience and make it hard for us to feel effective or confident in the face of those difficulties. Lord, help us to practice the active virtue of patience, to not just repress our frustration and wait around for things to get better, but to actively learn to create space when we're feeling frustrated, space that allows us to step back, bring the problem to you, hear your voice leading us and guiding us, and make a plan to act, to cooperate with your grace. We bring to you those situations and we ask you, Lord, to give us that active patience that enables us to cooperate more effectively with your will, so that in all things, even those frustrating moments and with those frustrating people, we can always be building your kingdom. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Testing My Patience. We're talking about those problematic people or situations that get under your skin, that make you feel frustrated, that you're just tired of dealing with it, and you'd like some solutions, and you'd like to know how to kind of keep your cool while you're dealing with it. Let us help you manage those challenges in your marriage, your family, your personal life, your social life, your extended family. You know who I'm talking about, those people or situations that get under your skin and test your patience. Well, we've got the cure right here. All you got to do is dial 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with David, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, David, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, I'm calling to find out how I can not take people who like to guess. I think the word is gaslighting. If I talk to them or ask them a question or ask them to do something, they respond by saying, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about," or "I don't understand you." So
you get frustrated because you're trying to communicate your feelings or your needs to other people, and they don't get what you're saying, and then that starts to frustrate you. Yeah.
Right.
You told our screener that you know you're not sure if people are actively trying not to listen to you or if they're trying to gaslight you in some way. What do you mean by that?
Well, that was him trying to help me, but it was really I told him that when I talk to someone or when I ask them a question or if I need like a favor or something done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't understand you, or I don't know what you're talking about. So.
Okay. All right, so how do you deal with those situations? This is actually a really common thing, you know, not just you. Here's the good news in some ways is that, you know, everybody deals with this, and so there are good answers to your question.
Still annoying to deal with and very frustrating, but there are answers.
You know, we have to kind of we have the tendency to expect that the first time I say something, it's going to be perfectly clear and everybody else is going to get it. In actuality, 99.9% the first time we say anything, the other person isn't really understanding what we mean. Even when they tell us that they are, because what happens is when you hear me talk, you hear it through certain filters that you have in your brain based on experiences that you've had that I haven't. And so when I say something, you interpret what I'm saying through those experiences. So by the time it kind of gets to your ears, you know, the message might have changed entirely. So when somebody says to you, "Oh, David, I don't know what you're talking about," the best thing to do is not to just say the same thing over again or get frustrated with them. The best thing to do is say, "Well, you know, I'm not sure how else to say it. Tell me what you heard me say." Right. Help me. What exactly did you hear me ask you? What exactly did you hear me say? So I can try to maybe answer whatever questions you got or fill in the blanks. If you can get them to tell you what they heard you say, then what that does is it makes them really think about it. So maybe they weren't listening in the first place. Right. And now they have to listen. And now they have to kind of say back to you what they thought they heard you say. And that gives you a chance to say, "Well, that's not really what I meant at all, right? No, what I meant was thus and such and this and that." Or, "Well, yeah, that part's right, but you missed this part." And then you're able to give them the information that was missing. You know, what's happening right now is, you know, you're sort of expecting that the first time you say something, the other person will get it. And then when they don't, you get frustrated. Which is, again, that's not just you, that's everybody. So what you want to do from now on is assume that people aren't going to understand you the first time. And if they tell you they didn't get it, ask them to clarify. Or even when they tell you that they got it, sometimes it's okay to say, "Well, can you just tell me what you heard me say just so I can make sure that we really are on the same page?"
Yeah. And also, you know, to say, "Tell me what you heard me say so that we're on the same page. Tell me what the plan is now." Because the second step to good communication with anybody, especially when we have a history of not feeling heard, is to make sure that both people understand what the next steps are in the situation. If we go away thinking they've heard us, chances are they don't have a plan in their head to meet your needs, to change whatever needs to be changed. So those two things, tell me what you're thinking I'm saying here, so we're both on the same page with this, and tell me what you think our plan is now. What are those next steps? And if you haven't set up next steps, so let's say you say, as you were saying, David, that you might need help with something. You need to be very specific, right? You're going to say, "I need help on this day and this time and this way," and then they repeat it back to you, and you say, "Okay, now what are those steps?" And if they're saying, "Oh, I don't remember when we're doing this," or whatever, you repeat it back and then you have them repeat it back. That clarification is what's going to help you overcome this. And if you're even remotely right about somebody trying to gaslight you, that's going to clarify enough to be able to say, no, they don't have the wiggle room to do that to me, because we're being that specific. Kind, but specific.
All right, David, thank you so much for the call, and I hope that those suggestions will move you down the road there and help you feel heard by all the people in your life. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about patience today, and the people and situations that test your patience, that get under your skin, that frustrate you, that make you feel like, really? Do I have to deal with this, honestly, again? If you are looking for ways to not just reclaim your calm, but find the solutions that will let you leave it behind, we want to help you find those answers and create the space in those situations where you feel frustrated that allow you to discern God's plan for you and take the steps that will help you resolve that struggle. And I really identify the next step. The number again, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after this.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a seven-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare option you've been searching for. From concierge service to ethical consultations to partnerships with one of the nation's largest healthcare sharing ministries, CMF Curo offers a pro-life, Catholic approach to your overall health and well-being. Find out today if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, our show is titled Testing My Patience, as we talk about those problematic people and situations that get under our skin, cause us to feel frustrated and just confused about what to do. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Gabriel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hi, Gabriel. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm having trouble communicating with my girlfriend. So I met this girl in California back in, like, 2013, around 2018. Found out we liked each other.
Okay.
But 2 days later, I had to move to Texas for job-related things. Actually, not 2018. It was 2019. I had to move to Texas for job-related things. I've just moved back just last week due to personal, family, and financial reasons.
Moved back to California.
I moved back to California, yes.
Okay.
And also her. But she's been, for the last couple of weeks, she's been kind of quiet slash silent. I mean, I'm trying to contact her daily, but it's very frustrating. I've tried phoning. I've tried social media. I mean, I see her posting on Facebook, but I don't see, there's no direct communication between the two of us.
Okay, so it's not the kind of thing, since you can see her posting on Facebook, you know she's safe. She's just ghosting you.
It seems like it, which is weird. I mean, I just talked to her friend just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she and her friend hasn't been in communication since early July. Her friend got back to me saying that she has been experiencing headache, health, and health issues. She is an Asperger's girl. So she feels pain a lot more acutely, especially around the time of her month. So
Gabriel, you said that, you've been trying to reach out to her by phone or on social media, and she's not been responding. Have you actually gone to her house?
At the moment, I do not know her address at this point because she's moved around a couple times.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were dating. And
yeah,
I got the impression that you actually had a...
I am dating, but I haven't... Since it was, again, this was long distance from Texas to California, there was no purpose for me to know the address until I got to here. So, now I don't know where the address is now.
All right. So she's safe. So that's the most important thing. There are two problems basically here. The first one is you're concerned for her, right? You want to make sure she's okay. What you're hearing is, from friends that she is, but that she's struggling with some health issues. You've got some other indications there that she's okay, but just struggling to connect with people right now. The other problem is, what do you do about this relationship? And you have to really ask yourself, Gabriel, because you put yourself in the position of being a pursuer. And you have to be asking yourself at all times when you're dating anybody, is this person capable of giving me what I need from the relationship? And it sounds to me like she's not. At least at this time. And it would be okay to kind of send her a message and say, look, I'm concerned about you. You haven't been getting back to me. Are you okay? And, are you trying to send me the message that you'd rather not see me anymore or what's going on? And get some clarification there. But longer term, you got to be asking yourself, is she capable of giving me what I need from a relationship? You know that because she responds to you. She makes time for you. She's available to you. And if she's not, then what that's saying is that you need to find somebody else.
And that's not a selfish thing. That is actually part of, because this is a romantic relationship you want to have with her. And the church tells us that we both have to be, both people in the relationship have to be fully capable of entering into a Catholic marriage, as that is set out, in order for that marriage to be valid. So if she is not capable, for whatever the reason is at this moment, bad, terrible health issues, not being emotionally ready to be in, whatever that is, if she cannot be a full partner in the relationship, at least in a strong attempt to be, even if she's dealing with her own issues, then she's not able to enter into a romantic relationship that will lead to something healthy and lead to a sacramental marriage eventually. So it's really just a discernment process. It's not selfish to say, can she be what I need her to be in a relationship right now?
So just to summarize, Gabriel, you have three steps here. Number one, check on her, make sure she's okay. Number two, what you're doing already. Number two, clarify. What does this mean? What does her silence mean? Does it mean that she, is putting space there, or does it just mean that she's unhealthy and that she really looks forward to seeing you again?
And if she does not answer you, your answer is she's not in this at all.
And step three, through the whole thing, be evaluating, is she capable of giving me what I need from a romantic relationship? And if not, then you're going to need to make that break and look for somebody who would be a healthy and godly partner for you. Thanks so much for the call, Gabriel. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. I mean, look, life is filled with irritating people and frustrating situations, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
So if there is somebody that's irritating you or a problem that's frustrating you, if you've got something that's testing your patience, let us help you find the grace, the strength, and the tools and tips you need to address those challenges well. You know, we talked about how patience is not the virtue of, quote-unquote, the virtue of waiting around and letting things get better on their own. That it's really the active virtue that allows us to sort of step back, see the effect our efforts so far have made on the problem, and evaluate what God might want us to do next. Patience is the virtue that enables us to create a space in the situation so that we can hear what God's calling us to do. It's not just about repressing the frustration and waiting for things to work out. So if you are feeling frustrated and you want to create that space that allows you to identify a plan for cooperating more effectively with God's grace, let's do it together. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Tell us about that challenge with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with your extended family, whoever it is. And let's find some effective ways of overcoming those frustrations and finding the solutions you're seeking. The number again, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about those people and situations that are testing your patience right after the break. Stick around.
Now that the abortion problem has been returned to the states, we will most likely be called upon to give a reason for our pro-life activism. But this is more than a mere political issue. It's an opportunity to present the gospel of life. It's an opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom's view of this world and of human life. And the central question in this dispute is going to be, what is the status of preborn human life? Many Christians need to recognize that, yes, we have to do the political thing, but we have greater opportunities here. We have an opportunity to engage people about the very meaning of life itself. I mean, that's why John Paul II wrote the gospel of life. He didn't just write some sort of political anti-abortion tract, right? He's talked about the gospel of life.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What is the significance of the anointing oil or chrism during the administration of confirmation? According to the Catholic Catechism, when a Christian is thus anointed, he is marked with a permanent spiritual seal. Anointing in biblical times was rich with symbolism. Oil is a sign of abundance and joy. It cleanses and limbers the body. It is a sign of healing. Think of it being administered to cuts and bruises. It gives radiant beauty and strength. All these features of oil are present in the sacramental life. The pre-baptismal anointing with the oil of catechumens signifies cleansing and strengthening. Anointing the sick signifies healing and comfort. In confirmation and holy orders, the post-baptismal anointing with sacred chrism denotes consecration. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many new parents approach Greg and I with questions about techniques to be successful parents. But this is the wrong attitude. Remember, your baby is not a machine. There's no operating manual for parenthood. Every parent needs to learn the language their baby speaks in order to create a positive, trust-filled relationship that is optimal for his or her emotional, spiritual, and physical development. The language of baby consists of touch, cuddles, and intensive FaceTime. By speaking this language, you are telling your baby, come close to me, learn from me, Let me teach you what the world means and what it means to be you. There are supporting actions such as baby wearing and breastfeeding, but most important is your attitude. You brought this little person into the world. The best gift that you can give them is a willingness to give yourself in self-donative love. For more ways to build a positive relationship with your child, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, testing my patience. We're talking about those problematic people and situations that are causing you to feel frustrated and irritable. Let us help you reclaim your calm and find the solutions you're seeking. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rita, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Rita. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm calling because I have an adult son who, you know, is a wonderful person, very caring, helps me take care of my mother. But that's all he does, doesn't work, doesn't go to school, and doesn't help around the house unless I'm constantly nagging. And I want to know how I can fix it, what I can do so that he's more amiable to working with me to keep the household going.
Can I ask you, Rita, he's told our screen, he's 34 years old. Why is he living 24. With you? 24?
He's 24.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. On the board, it said 34.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's a large
that's
change.
A big difference. So why is he living at home instead of working or going to school or any of those sorts of things? Is there a history of mental illness or drug and alcohol problems? You know, what's the situation there?
No, he just kind of doesn't want to know. He kind of doesn't know what he wants to do yet in life, and just didn't decide to go and do any of those sorts.
And where's his dad?
His father is out of state. We've been separated since he was a baby.
Okay, so you've raised him on your own. And yeah. Did he complete high school?
He tested out early, so he did not want to go to school, and his teachers came to me and said, you know, he passes all his tests wonderfully, but he doesn't do any of his homework and he never shows up to class otherwise, other than test day. And we just don't think we're doing anything good for him. So in 10th grade, he took the equivalency test and graduated in that manner.
So he's been, I don't mean to sound cruel, but this is the picture I'm getting. He's been basically sitting on your couch for almost 10 years.
Yeah, I tried to take him to community college, and he refused to sign up for anything.
Rita, have you sought any mental health help for him or for your family?
You know what? I have not. Well, I have not. And
okay, so there's
I
your next step. You have a very serious mental health problem there that's not been dealt with for 10 years. And I think that you have kind of an emotionally incestuous relationship going on here. I realize that's
you need to explain that, because that sounds like
your son is your support.
Yeah,
your
you're
son
saying
is your
he helps
support.
Take care of your mom, and you're in a position where you're stuck between the two of them. And his father left very early on, and he's kind of come alongside of you, and that fills a role.
And you're
for
enjoying
you.
The support that you get from him in terms of taking care of your mom, but you're not being a mom to him by pushing him out. Right. To actually get him a life, and he's taking advantage of that, and so the anger that you're experiencing there from him is sort of this: on the one hand, you know, I have an easy life, and I'm glad that I had this easy life. On the other hand, Mom, I'm angry with you for not being my mom and help me stand on my own two feet. You haven't, it's not normal for a 10th grader to not be doing their work. That's an indication of depression that's been there. Living
even
under your nose
then.
For
yeah.
10 years. So your next step is to get in touch with a good counselor who can work not just with your son, but with both of you. Because this is a really unhealthy relationship that you've got and a really unhealthy dynamic. This isn't just his problem that he won't launch. This is your problem that you've really neglected his mental health for 10 years and that you need to do something about that. So that's where we've got to start, Rita, because nothing's going to change here until you change your relationship. It's not a matter of, you know, just encouraging him to go to school or get a job or whatever. There's a lot of unhealthy dynamics here that you're both benefiting from the current arrangement.
But I'll tell you, 24 is sort of your limit on this. You know, he's gotten all the nurturance he can get for you, from you. And often as moms, we don't realize that there is a time, usually around middle school, beginning of high school, where our dynamic with our child really has to change from being nurturer to encourager and pusher-outerer. And so you miss that window with him for a multitude of different reasons, including the fact that all the teachers were just saying, it's fine, he's smart, let's just get him out of our hair, the teachers are thinking, and let him test out, he'll be fine. And he wasn't
fine. I didn't
even
know that was legal, frankly.
Well, at a certain age, yeah, it is. At 16, you can do that. And so they didn't do their job of coming to you and saying, look, this is not normative. You need to get him some help. There may be a depression here. Nobody came along to kind of say, okay, these are the next steps. Let's sign, you know, let the school help you sign up for community college. And so you were just left in this place where the patterns continued. The new pattern has to be getting serious mental health help, getting the counseling you need, and making sure that counselor helps you both come up with a serious plan for the next steps to help him launch successfully.
Rita, thank you so much for the call. Really, the next step is getting counseling for the both of you. And I hope that as soon as you get off the phone with us, that you'll be reaching out for some good local services or even reaching out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. But this is a serious issue that's been under your nose for a decade that you haven't been dealing with appropriately. It's time to get the help.
And it really will keep getting worse. His anger, your frustration, and his inability to have a life. So grab this window now.
877-573-7825. We're talking about testing our patience. You know, being patient does not mean being perfectly calm all the time. It doesn't mean not being frustrated. It doesn't mean not getting irritated. What it means is creating a space in the middle of that stressful, frustrating, irritating situation to be able to step back, look at the effect your efforts have made so far, bring the situation to God, and discern what the next thing you need to do is. It's an active virtue that creates that space for you to listen with thought and purpose. Let us help you deal with those situations that are testing your patience so that you can learn to create that space that enables you to figure out the next steps and make a plan to follow through with cooperating with God's grace. The number is 877-573-7825. Do you have a person in your life who's testing your patience? Are you dealing with someone or something that you're tired of having to deal with? If you're having to handle a personal or relationship problem that is constantly raising your emotional temperature, let us help you reclaim your calm and find the solutions you're seeking. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verse 12.
Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer.
Now, this verse really affirms everything that we're talking about here. You know, what people tend to think this verse means is, you know, when St. Paul says rejoice in hope, you know, they think he means, you know, be happy that problems are happening. When he says be patient in tribulation, he just suck it up and wait for things to get better. And be constant in prayer means, okay, just keep going, God save me, God save me, God save me, God save me. And that's not what this verse means at all. You know, this verse is really all about creating that space that allows you to step back, reflect on the efforts, on the progress your efforts have made so far, discern what God's asking you to do next, and make a plan. Rejoicing in hope means, like we were talking about yesterday, actually, knowing that God has a plan for this particular situation and that he can reveal that plan to you, and you're excited to learn what he has to teach you. Being patient in tribulation means creating that space to be able to listen to what that plan is. And being constant in prayer means going to God and saying, teach me, Lord, and give me the grace to follow through. So rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and constant in prayer. It's all about patience, creating that space that allows us to learn what God is asking us to do in every situation and find the grace and courage to do that thing. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about your patience being tested. How do you deal with those people in situations that are really driving you crazy? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after this.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
The EWTN home video highlight for August is They Might Be Saints, Rhoda Wise. Among the healing miracles of this stigmatic and mystic was the cure of 19-year-old Rita Rizzo, the girl who became EWTN's Mother Angelica. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled Testing My Patience, as we talk about those problematic people and situations that get under our skin, cause our emotional temperature to rise, and just make us feel frustrated. Sound familiar? Dealing with somebody or something like that? Let us help you create the space in the middle of that frustrating place where you can discern what God's calling you to next, and find the courage and grace to move forward with that plan. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Liz, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Hi, Liz. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on? Liz, on line four, are you there, Virginia?
Yes, I'm here.
What's your question, Liz?
Well, I have an acquaintance that she's very arrogant, and she's always telling me what I should do. She thinks she's an authority, and I have tried to avoid her. And then when I do come in contact with her, and I can't avoid her, I just try to be quiet, because she seems to be very authoritative.
Have you ever told her that you feel that she's being she's kind of putting her nose in where it doesn't belong?
No, I've not told her.
I think it's okay to.
She's the type of person that you tell anything like that to her.
Well, what do you think she'd do? if you did say it?
I think she would get defensive.
Well, but she'd probably have less to do with you moving forward, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, so that's win-win.
Yeah, you know, what I'm hearing, Liz, is she drives you nuts. You really don't want to be around her very much. She's just an acquaintance. We're not talking about your sister or your mom or your daughter. We're talking about an acquaintance, and you're afraid to be honest with
her. Yeah, I mean, I think you can be charitable about it. You don't have to.
Don't yell and scream about it.
You can say, "Listen, I appreciate that you're coming from a good place and you're trying to be helpful, but honestly, I didn't ask your opinion, and it's not particularly helpful whenever you say these things to me, and I actually feel like you're kind of sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong, so I would really appreciate it keeping your thoughts to yourself." And she's going to be put out by that.
First of all, she may not say anything at all, because nobody's ever bothered to tell her that, probably.
But if
she does, she does, and you just say it again. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but it's coming off as arrogant. I don't need it. Thanks very much.
You know, I'm really sorry if you're offended, but I didn't ask for your input. I appreciate your intention, but it's actually not very helpful, and I would really rather you keep your opinions to yourself on this. And, you know, either she'll say, "Gosh, I had no idea. I'm really sorry I was offended," and then it gives you a chance to really talk through what kind of support you might need from her or want from
her. Just friendship from her.
And then maybe you can actually, you know, develop a friendship. Or she leaves you alone. You know, win-win. either the relationship gets better, or you don't have to deal with her anymore. But you know, it's all about being honest, charitably honest with people. Again, it's not about picking on her. It's not about yelling at her. It's not about, you know, shaming her. It's really just about saying, "Look, I appreciate your intention. I recognize that you're trying to do something good and you're trying to be helpful. But honestly, the way you're approaching me isn't helpful. And I didn't ask for your opinion. I'd love your support. I'd love for you to listen. But I'd love your company. But I don't want this. So I really prefer that you stop." And, you know, either the relationship will improve or she'll distance from you because, you know, she doesn't want you to respect your boundary. But again, win-win. Liz, thank you so much for the call. And we do talk more about this kind of thing in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's our book we did on setting boundaries and, you know, how to set boundaries that leave the door open for a healthier relationship, very much like this. You know, again, you're not pushing her away. You're saying, "I acknowledge your intention. I really appreciate where you're coming from. That's not working. This would help. What do you want to do?" And that gives her a chance then to either improve the relationship or distance. But that's the kind of boundary that we talk about in God Help Me. How do you create those boundaries that leave the door open for a healthy relationship but shut the door on an unhealthy one? That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And with that, let's take our next caller. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking with Sue, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Sue. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I'm calling about, I have two sons who still live at home. One is 20 and one is 23.
Okay.
The 20-year-old is a special needs kiddo, and he works part-time. And my husband and I have probably know that he probably will be living with us for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
I don't think he'll ever be able to live by himself.
Okay.
I understand. All right.
23-year-old lives with us, works, does, but he doesn't feel he needs to contribute, like do chores, do any of those things, cook, clean. We don't charge them rent or anything like that. But he just kind of has this, like he's entitled to live here. This is his house.
So what have you tried to do about that, Sue?
We've talked to him about it and said, you know, you do realize eventually, you know, you need to move out, find your own place, establish yourself or whatnot. He's, well, the housing market's not great now. He'll kind of give excuses, but then has thought of this idea that, well, we can charge him rent to live there, but then when he does move out, basically to give it all back for a down payment on a house.
Well, that's adorable. I just want to ask, what do you think is, he's afraid of something. Why is he afraid of moving out?
He does not have any friends anymore. Mm-hmm. He had a bad relationship with a girl several years ago, and they all both had mutual friends, and basically does not talk to any of them anymore. So he doesn't, other than going to work and staying home, he doesn't have any interaction with people outside of the house.
Okay. And so as far as this contributing, go ahead.
My fear is if we, and my husband's like, hey, he has to go. He kind of says he needs to man up. And I said, but if we do that and say, hey, there's the door, you need to leave, then he won't associate with anybody. He only associates with us at home. We try to make him go with us places to interact with other people. And usually he's on his phone or...
Okay. Well, there are a couple of things. There's a step between, you know, continuing to do what you're doing or throwing
or
him out.
Or just tossing him out.
You know, he's clearly got some mental health issues in terms of his social skills his motivational skills. And so, you know, like we were talking about with a previous caller, you know, when any time a family is dealing with an issue that is persistent and frustrating, and, you know, you feel like you're not making any progress when you're dealing with it on your own, that's time to really seek professional help, right? It's not just whenever there's some, you know, obvious florid mental illness that you need to seek help for. It's any time a family is being presented with a life challenge that they've tried to handle and they're not making any progress on it and it's getting more frustrating. So, you know, he needs skills, but you guys also need to know how to best support him in that. So that's an indication that getting some professional family counseling is really indicated here. So that's number one. Number two, he does need to move out. Your husband's right about that, but he does, you can't just throw him out, right? It's a matter of saying, okay, look, you know, we're going to work over the next year of helping you get on your own two feet. So we're making appointments to start looking at apartments. We're going to start looking at, you know, different, and you're going to have to accompany him on this, right? Because he's terrified, and there is some problem. Either he's either depressed, or he's got anxiety issues, or something else is going on. He's not going to be able to just do it on his own, even though he's 24 years old, or however, 23, excuse me. But he can do it if you're walking along with him and getting the mental health support from a good professional family counselor.
And that means you start looking and exploring, and also exploring, you know, how many hours a week he would have to work to be able to share an apartment with somebody, that kind of thing. You do not have to give him the money to move out. That is not something you have to do. The other thing I want to say here is this: I don't have to contribute to the household.
Yeah, I was going to come around.
Nonsense.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
He's using your electricity, your water, eating your food. You're probably cooking his meals. All that can stop very readily if he is not contributing to the household, including he gets in the shower, you turn off the water if he didn't do the dishes the night before or do the vacuuming of the living room.
I don't want you to charge him rent. I want you to make him work. He needs to work.
Which will actually help if he's depressed.
Right. So, you know, when you're doing a chore, if he's there, he's doing it with you. Right? Or doing it on his own, either way. Mm-hmm. Whichever way you can make it happen.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, or whatever works in the schedule, are his night to make dinner and clean it up.
He's folding laundry. I mean, he's doing the things, right? And you're making him miserable if he doesn't, right?
And miserable not by lecturing and not by telling him about his future, but by there's no dinner on his place that night because he didn't do what he was supposed to do to contribute to the household.
He's sitting there.
The water gets turned off when he's in the shower.
If he
didn't.
Because
he didn't do anything. And, oh, honey, people who don't work don't have enough money to take a shower. This is what it would be like.
He's sitting there on the television. You walk through, you turn off the television. You know, and is it, well, you didn't do the X thing I asked you to do. You're not watching TV until that happens. So it's not about, you know, paying. It's not about the money. It's about the lack of motivation and the lack of accountability, right? So those couple of things are going to be most important. One, family counseling to really learn how to deal with the mental health issues that really are here. You know, the social anxiety, the depression, all of that that's holding him back, and the fact that you guys really don't know what to do with him. That needs professional support. But beyond that, you know, it's not about paying rent and all that other nonsense. It's about how do you make him contribute? How do you force the issue? Not by lecturing him, but by setting actual physical boundaries that make it impossible for them to sit there and be like a mushroom on your couch. All right? Sue, thank you so much for the call. And actually, we do talk more about this in having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with your adult sons and daughters. You know, sometimes the conversations we have aren't with words, they're with actions. And so we talk about how to have those kinds of boundaries with our adult children that really facilitate the changes that need to happen in our relationships with them. So thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. And listeners, if you are struggling with a situation that's testing your patience, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about all the resources we mentioned on today's show, including our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, and Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. You can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic pastoral counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
Listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.